This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go! 1-on-3! 1-2-3!
You're listening to the best of the Dolphins.
Yeah, y'all boys, man. Keep hands on to the 1-2.
A weekly mix of AM 560 Sports, WQAM's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Tell you guys up until 2 here on the program. Miami Dolphins victorious yesterday over the Raiders, 34-19. Dolphins now 4-6 on the season. Raiders fall to 2-8. They suck. Dolphins now will turn their attention to the Patriots, who lost yesterday to the Rams. And obviously, the Dolphins need that to set themselves up.
The Patriots look better since Drake May took over.
They definitely look more viable, for sure. They definitely look more viable, for sure. So that's something that you got to keep an eye on, especially with the Dolphins giving up some big plays yesterday. The tackling was less than ideal on some drives.
By the way, it's really hard to do, because keep in mind, if you're in an open field like that as a running back and that guy tackles you, it's going to be pretty difficult for you to have a job. And on the other side, it's considered a great play if he tackles a running back in open field, or anybody for that matter.
You talking about the one that Kohu whipped on?
Yes. It's not as easy as people make it sound like. Right.
It looks bad.
It looks bad. But again, any sudden move by that running back and you stop, then he runs by you. So what you do is you just accelerate, pick a spot, go try to hit it.
I've already looked at, not to look ahead, even though I do that, but I've already started looking at Green Bay forecast for next Thursday. Snow. Snow.
Oh, it's going to be cold.
It's going to be cold.
Let me tell you, November weather up north is tricky. When you get to Thanksgiving or later, there's no doubt.
Dolphins might have to save Thanksgiving, because did you see what happened with the Giants?
No, what happened?
Giants have officially benched Daniel Jones, which means we have a Super Bowl matchup of Cowboys, Giants, Cooper Rush, and Tommy Cutlets, Tommy DeVito. Woo! That's a woof.
Like,
what are we supposed to do? Talk to our families?
You know what else they should do? They should fire the guy whoever decided to let Saquon Barkley go, because that would help Daniel Jones.
Oh, he's getting fired. that guy's getting fired.
Hey, you're like, dude. He's getting
fired. Oh, he's getting fired. There's no doubt about that.
I love the way, was it the owner that came in and Hard Knocks said, "You really want to get rid of Saquon? I really like him."
I'd hate to see him in another, especially a division rival's jersey. Don't worry about it, boss. Don't worry about it.
It's that thinking about running backs right there that's going to get a bunch of people in the league fired.
Mm-hmm.
Because a running back is almost as important as offensive line as far as protecting your quarterback, keeping the defense honest. If you can't run the football and the defensive line can tee off on your quarterback, that makes things much more difficult for their success.
Kind of feels like McDaniels rats off a ship on Mostert, huh? Kind of feels that
it's
way.
It's a weird...
They even trying to fake an injury.
It does kind of look like he's...
not enough.
Streets need a body. And we found out who the body was.
Well, he very clearly was getting punished on Monday Night Football. But even in this
game...
He
didn't have no carries, right?
No carries. And then in this one... He didn't have any targets, and he had 3 carries for -2 yards. Yeah, he did. Did he have a – what do they say? Did he have a hip injury?
A hip injury.
But he was fine. He was on the sidelines. Yeah, he looked normal.
Then they had him returning
kicks. He went back in after that.
Did he?
Yes.
I thought after they said it, they showed him on the sidelines. He looked completely normal.
No, they said Mostert. No, he went back in.
Okay.
But this I is apologize. Weird. I thought that he was fine.
They said hip injury, and then he's returning kicks. And I'm like, well, I mean.
No, that's what I'm saying. He went back in, and he played off.
Oh, I thought you meant he went back into the locker room.
No. No, 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 no.
Yeah, I was very confused.
They just put it on TV that questionable return, and then he was back in the game.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Probably ought to put them hip pads on, fella.
Jeez.
I don't know. Like it, you can do that when you have a lot of talent at the position.
Mm-hmm.
Some teams don't have that luxury.
For sure.
Right. So
I mean, the Achane's playing well.
And the other thing is that with all the different ways you can give Achane the ball, it kind of makes him more important in that role anyway. So, I'm still, look, what did I tell you guys I'm not a fan of? That outside run stuff, the sweep, they're like, those guys on defense are too fast, man. You very, very rarely outflank the defense unless you're New Orleans Saints and you let big fat ass Taysom Hill just go down the sideline, which is amazing. That right there was unbelievable that you let Taysom Hill run down the sideline.
I'm going to be honest with you. You reference this Browns team too much. Like, it's over, dude.
There's two games I got
to
watch.
There's
two games I have to watch every week.
You don't really have to watch their games anymore, dude. Let's start. Here's what you need to start doing. Give them reports on Cam Ward. That's what you need to start doing. Give them reports on Shedeur Sanders. Yeah.
But, man, I don't know.
Dade Saf says Achane ditched the Guardian cap. So his mom probably lifted the suspension. She goes, okay, it's been a month. That's probably what it was. But yeah, man. They took care of business yesterday, man. They took care of business. Little TCB game.
They took care of business. They
had to keep pace.
For from the perspective of playing offense,
mm-hmm.
they played really good offensive football. Maybe not the numbers everybody would like, but to be able to be that consistent, that methodical on a number of occasions and never have a punt. Then you're playing good offensive football, even though you don't score, you know, a boatload of points.
Jonnu Smith, who's, just had a really, really good season. This was him after the game. He says, on Tua, best QB in the world, man.
Best in the world, man. You got the best quarterback in the world, man. You know what I mean? You know, when you makes things a lot easier for everybody else. And, those guys that came in, during that time when he was down, they did a great job and, helped us as much as they could. Showed a lot of grit and a lot of selflessness. And, we're happy to have those guys, man. And, one's who he is for a reason. So, we just excited to have him back and excited to get back to where we need to be.
Pause up, dude.
Hey, notice
he
didn't want to throw the other guys on the bus that were playing quarterback when Tua wasn't.
Yeah, they know, though. We all know, dude. We don't have to say it. We know. We've seen them.
Hey, I'm glad to see they using the hell out of Jonnu Smith.
Yeah.
Like, and the defense looks damn near shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
he's been a monster, dude. He's been a monster. He's been great. He's been. It was a bit of a slow roll, but by since what? Since like week four, this guy's been a go-to.
Yep.
He's been absolutely fantastic. And then
that's going to help. That
we had one person though. We have one person though who has to answer for their crimes, and that person's name is Antonio Pierce, because he called for Tua to retire. And after the game, he was asked about it.
You made some comments regarding Tua and his concussion history earlier this year. Did you have any talks with him maybe on the field at any point in the game?
No, I got the ultimate respect for Tua, former player. That was it.
That's good.
Damage is done, my friend.
Well, what was it? What was the last?
You just said former things player. Like you. Did you have any conversation? No, former player.
Former player.
Ultimate respect.
Breakfast, two eggs. All right, I'm out. Man. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Hey, you can't be saying scrambled eggs, man.
Hey, well,
I'm sorry. That's my
got us in that position.
I apologize.
Wow. But that was funny. Hey, listen.
Can't scramble eggs nowadays.
I guarantee, though, this is what I was saying. Like,
they're too expensive.
I know that Antonio Pierce is, like, I've been in his position before, all right? Because his heart was in the right place, all right? His heart was in the right place when he told Tua to retire. However, there was part of me that thinks, because these coaches are so week to week, I bet you he forgot they played the Dolphins when he said that at week two. I bet you he didn't even realize. And, like, as soon as he's like, oh, this is being brought up as fodder. Yup.
Yep. I mean, it's a emotional reaction,
mm-hmm.
but the thing that I have said, and I'll still say to anybody, is you got to understand why these guys play. And as a former player, to know what you put your body through and what you went and played with and some of the injuries you sucked it up and went out and gave whatever you could, you should be more understanding than kind of dismissive of it. And that's kind of what he was. That's the only problem I had with it. I get what he was trying to say. But he should also follow it up with, I played in this league for a long time. I know what I went on the field with and the things I tried to do and what I played with. So I understand what he's going through.
Yeah, well, he didn't though. He just described himself, former player, Tua, quarterback, ultimate respect. I'm like, what is this, Mad Libs? We know. Thank you.
Long walks on the beach.
He's like,
I'm a Taurus.
He's like, what do you want to do? I'm 2-8. I hope I have a job next year. That crazy owner sits in the box. He's starting to look like his father, the Crypt Keeper, with a wig on. What? What are you looking for?
It's really the worst.
I mean, it's the worst haircut it's literally you've ever seen in your life.
That he travels 100 miles to get.
100 miles to get in a van.
Wow.
And then he's bringing that puppy to Miami. Woof.
Gross.
Man.
You know, there was an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond, and they were sitting in a church, and Raymond and Robert were sitting next to each other, and the guy in front of them had a hairpiece, and Ray was messing around with him doing like this, and then Robert hit his arm and hit him in his head to the side.
Too much.
Oh my goodness.
I really liked that character on TV. I've never been more shocked seeing stand-up comedy that guy is like Brad Garrett. Hey,
he is not funny.
Not funny, dude.
At the comedy club. Isn't that crazy?
He owns the Vegas Improv.
That's
it's all over the place too. Like he's got that syndicated TV money, and like he loves stand up comedy so much. But dude, I went to the Improv to see. That was the last before you gave me tickets, Marcos.
Yeah,
that was the last stand up comedy show I saw. It was Brad Garrett, and I was like, this is terrible.
Well, if you want to see him again, $210.
What?
That's what it's saying.
Oh, he's coming down here?
No. This is at his comedy club.
Apparently. Wow.
Yeah, on Vivid Seats.
From $210?
The cheapest ticket you can get.
Vegas is so expensive.
$161 if you want to do cheap, you know, to see our boy Brad.
Marcos has to be PC because he might make a Miami trip.
Yeah, exactly.
Take a break. More to come on the show. Busy, busy weekend. We got Cats to talk about. We got Panthers. Canes are going to be back in action this week. And a lot of fight action as well. More to come here on the show back after this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Hundreds of Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, Woody. Kyle Krabs, the host of Locked on Fence podcast, joins us. Always one of our more popular guests that we have. Kyle, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Joe. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. So I don't know if I owe you an apology or anything, but I've kind of misled everybody because I keep thinking and waiting for that explosive play with Waddle and Tyreek Hill to come back, and I realized and they finally came out and said it, and Tua talked about it, that short, quick, efficient passing game that they have. And so the 2 years of explosive and quick scoring plays, it's a different kind of offense. It looked really good, by the way. I mean, a lot of guys open, catching it. Mike talked about the players they have maybe better fitted for that stuff, especially Jonnu Smith and the backs coming out of the backfield. What'd you think? Are we done with that? Are you still giving that time to potentially come back, or this is what it's going to be going forward?
So I thought it was interesting because this question has continuously come up with Dolphins fans, and you go watch the tape, especially the game against the Raiders. I thought they had some opportunities down the field, but there are very high percentage, high efficiency completions underneath that have equal amounts of space because the Dolphins can put Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle on the same side of the field, and teams are going to box those two guys, and the guys that are playing on the roof are probably going to end up at 25 yards of depth at some point in the play, and that's just how deep that they're playing. So from a spacing perspective, if they're going to commit 4-2 or 4-3 with like a delayed release out of the backfield, the spacing and that much depth, the spacing that allows you in the rest of the field, I think you really saw that where there were times where, you know, maybe Tua does look to just push the ball to Tyreek Hill. But that's something that we've been asking for from this offense, to be a little bit more balanced and authentic and finding open guys. And they're doing a really good job of it right now. Now, some of that's still on tape. I think there will be certain game situations down the stretch where they're going to have to take some of those shots. I actually thought the third and eight throw that he had to Tyreek there in the second half against the Raiders was a good example of a tight window throw.
Yeah.
The Raiders rotated to Tampa 2 out of a cover one man look, but they had extra guys up on the line. Like, it was an exotic post-snap shift of the shell of the defense. And he put the ball on Tyreek's back shoulder on that in-breaking route at 18 yards. And it was a really well-executed rep of what they just used to do persistently to teams last year. So you see the flashes of it. You see guys that are open. But if teams are going to play with this much space, like, I don't have a problem with it right now. And I think it's sustainable until teams start to crowd, you know, inside of 10 yards, and that's when the big plays are going to start showing back up again.
You know, because I had some buddies call me after, like, whoa, what's right, you know, whoa, why another big plays? I said, listen, man, not today. Today everything was clean, short, guys caught everything, a lot of guys wide open. The picks and rub plays were, Waddle did some great job on those, and they did not adjust well to them, so we had guys wide open outside. So I thought it was just a – It was smart. I'm with you. I have no problem with it. You can tell Tua feels comfortable with it. He looked down the field a couple of times, and he dumps it off to either a running back or Jonnu Smith, who runs like he is just unbelievable for a big guy, the way he runs after the catch. And we've seen him the last couple of weeks come up with some huge plays.
Yeah, Jonnu almost hit 20 miles per hour on the gun on that 57-yarder.
Did he really? Wow.
So that's a 240-pound cat running at 20 miles per hour. That is a big guy with a lot of speed. And you know, you're getting some looks where you're getting quarters and you got three guys playing underneath, and the guys on the three guys underneath that are trying to space the entire second level of the defense, they're playing at 12 to 15 yards. Like, how do you not take the swing to Devon Achane?
Right.
And he's in the flat, and he's got the closest defender's probably 18 yards away from him when you triangulate the entire field. So I feel good about the offense right now as far as the efficiency of it. You have a game over game over game against different types of defenses that try to play you in different kinds of ways.
Yep.
Of that efficiency and being able to string together these long plays. I mean, Joe, that was the whole talking point all offseason. It was, they're too explosive, play reliant. They can't string together drives and play late season football. This is what it looks like. Yeah. Now, there's conversations about the running game, and without Alec Ingold and without Austin Jackson for the second straight week, you felt like there could have been some more opportunities for you, and that there were some missed assignments on the edge between the tackles and the tight ends and the wide receivers. Like, I thought all of those guys contributed to some of your losses on the edge. But I thought Mike McDaniel did a nice job yesterday talking about how if that's the spacing that they're going to give us and that's how they're going to try to play us, you can use that short passing game as an extension of the run guys with the same kind of concept of getting a guy the ball in space.
Especially when you got guys so open, and Tua went right to him, as you said. I'm always amazed. Achane is clearly, now the NFL must know this, because we talk so much about Waddle and Hill. Achane is the number one guy on this team. He is the one that's going to see that football. It's going to touch his hands more than anybody else. And at times, you're right, he was so open out in the flats to catch it and run up the field for another 5 or 6 or yards or more to get first downs. That really surprised me. Hey, so I got to ask you, going forward now here with everything, what did you think of the offensive line? The numbers are down the last 2 weeks. About a 3-yard average, basically, with 82 yards and 67 yards with the Rams in this last game against the Raiders. Are you concerned? Or I know some of the guys are banged up. What are your thoughts going forward with this running game that's got to be better in this cold weather coming up?
Yeah, I think there's a couple conversations that are going to play out before our eyes here. I think one of them is getting Alec Ingold back. I think that's the first piece, because that's not a long-term absence with what he's been working through. So Mike McDaniel said last week he didn't have a setback. He ends up not playing. They're going to need him down the stretch. But he is such a big tool, and I think his absence, you've seen it kind of trickle down with what Durham Smythe is asked to do, what roles he's asked to fill. Same thing for Julian Hill. You can tell they're just missing, like, that effective fit piece from somebody who's not blocking on the line of scrimmage. So that's what Alec does best. So I'm not panicking yet until I see what it looks like when you get Alec Ingold back in and no Austin Jackson. And if you still struggle there, then I think you start asking yourself how ready can we get Patrick Paul? Can he play? You know, I was pretty resistant to cross-training him and getting him at looks at right tackle. It sounds like he's been getting some opportunities with that in practice. Now that Teron Armstead went a whole week without practicing this past week on a short week, I'm sure Pat got a lot of reps there. But he would give you the juice in the run game. The challenge is the pass protection. How ready is he to do that? And I don't have the answer to that. They will internally be the only one that does know.
Hey, how did Kendall Lamb play overall? They did a great job against their pass rusher, Crosby. I thought overall those guys really did a good job of taking him out of the game. How did he play?
So I thought it was a really fun chess match between Miami and their protections and the Raiders and what they were doing with Crosby. So if Crosby was over top of Lamb, more often than not, they were going to turn the center that way, and Liam Eichenberg was there to help. So you were getting effectively two guys on Crosby, and you were leaving the other guys to play one-on-one matchups. And, you know, that worked pretty well. Kendall Lamb is a good pass protector. I think he's a better pass protector than he is a run blocker, and I thought it showed. I thought he framed Crosby pretty well. Crosby did get in on the one sack that Tua had and disrupt and force Tua to step up into somebody else. But then when Crosby would go over and play over top of Armstead, they would turn away and they would let Teron play on the island, and that allowed kind of the mechanics of your entire front five play out like normal and not be getting schemed double teams on right. one guy. And the Raiders, they'd start playing games with, if we're going to put Crosby over top of Lamb, then we're going to try to put a defensive tackle in the A-gap and lock the center so that we could try to play a twist game, or they put Crosby head up over the tackle and walk a rush linebacker up outside of him to try and do the numbers, and then they'd start bringing pressures away from that side and dropping the guy that's walked up on the line of scrimmage out. So it was really fun when you went back and watched the game to see, like, the chess match of, oh, they're playing Crosby this way. Oh, Crosby's playing us this way. Oh, the Raiders are putting this guy here. And it was a well-designed offensive attack, I thought, from a protection standpoint. And the guys, other than some stunts where they were running two- and three-man stunts, I thought that's where the Raiders really got some disruption. But fortunately, Miami had the ability to get the ball out fast, which we know they are very capable of doing.
Yeah. Hey, Kyle, I got to ask you, I don't know what the breakdown in snaps was, but Storm Duck played ahead of Cam Smith for a lot of that game. Were you surprised by that? Because the team obviously, after Cam's last game, said, no, he's getting better. And I mean, it's always positive, so it's hard to read with the position coaches. What's your take on, is Storm in your mind ahead of Cam, or is that going to be a rotation? What do you think happens there?
I think you're going to let the best guy step in there, and I think they're probably in the process of trying to figure out who that is without Kendall Fuller. Now, I think both guys have ups and downs. I would generally agree that Cam, I think, has gotten progressively a little bit more consistent throughout this stretch of playing time that he's had. But the fact that it's still up and down to the degree that the door is left open for an undrafted free agent in Storm Duck, this is right. a second-round pick. You don't get warm and fuzzies about that. So hopefully they find the right buttons to push for Cam, because he is so physically – like, it is very apparent how talented he is. And there's been some stuff over his last couple of weeks where there's quick hitters on the perimeter and he's playing from depth, or there's run support opportunities. He's doing that stuff really well. It's staying attached to guys down the field that is the big issue, I think, for Cam Smith as far as the consistency of his play.
Yeah. Well, you know what, man? We always say this, the higher you're drafted, the more we've had the old microscope on Chop Robinson, who looks like he's getting better and better, had two sacks in back-to-back games. I know he didn't have one in the last game. What's been your take on Chop? And it looks like playing him wider has really helped him.
Yeah, and which is not surprising given the first-step explosiveness that he has. And some of that, frankly, is tied to what other bodies you have elsewhere across the front, and how much do you trust the interior guys to keep their integrity and be able to deconstruct blocks so that you can play the end a little wider and not feel like you're giving up chances to get gouged in the B-gap. So I think the entire front has done a nice job during this stretch of play since Zach Sealer has come back. Deshaun Hand has really developed for them. And I think good for him.
That's a good one. Glad you said that. Yeah, Deshaun Hand really played well.
He's taken good amount of snaps, and he's getting off the blocks. I don't think the pass rush ceiling's necessarily ever going to be super high, but that's a player, it was a question coming in, and I feel good about him taking snaps now. So all of that, I think, trickles down to optimizing the opportunities of a guy like Chop, who has such dominant first-step explosiveness that the wider you can put him, the more strain he can put on a tackle, and then the more space he has to make the decision on how he wants to continue his rush after his first two steps.
By the way, before I let you go, did your friends tease you with that tailgate food they had last week?
Yeah.
You know what? That's wrong. What they did, I we should call them out. That was wrong. I was sitting up there, had very little for breakfast, and I'm trying to skip a meal in between now, so I don't eat too much food at the game. And, man, I saw that, and I just – They're bad people. I thought they were good people.
They're trying to coax you down, that's all. They're just trying to coax you down.
Hey, Kyle, thank you, man. I appreciate it very much. Good stuff.
Thanks, Kyle.
My takeaway, for real, is Tua's an excellent quarterback. And this season is so different if he didn't miss four games. It just is. And anyone who's going to tell you different is lying. And I know Solana, and I understand the argument. Solana's going to say, okay, but he did it against a really bad Raiders team. And I get it, but I'm sorry if you don't think Tua's an excellent quarterback. His game stats, 28 of 36, 288 yards, 3 TDs, no interceptions. He has been back for 4 games. In those 4 games, he's thrown for 930 yards, 7 touchdowns, and 1 interception. And he's also able to use Jonnu Smith in a way that Mike McDaniel intended at the beginning of the season, but Skylar Thompson and Tyler Huntley and Tim Boyle were unable to do. You can't tell me that Jonnu Smith just remembered how to play football. Like, Tua was an excellent quarterback, and if you want someone else or have wanted someone else, you're just plain wrong.
Yeah, and the Jonnu Smith package only works if Tua's in there because they know he can make all the throws. So now he's drawn. His last touchdown, nobody covered. I was about to say he's getting covered by the worst guy. There's nobody on him. He's just running down the field, and he's a gigantic human. How do you lose him? No, Tua is very good. And that's what I said. You could talk about the injuries you want to, Solana, whatever you want to, because you hate Tua. Whatever you want to say, you could talk about it. If Tua Tagovailoa is under center, he is a top 10 quarterback playing football today.
Tua is the most important player in this organization. There is no doubt about it. And what I'm about to say is not an indictment on Tua. I think it's an indictment on the team, because even since Tua has been back, and he's been great, Hawk, you just read his stats. Guess how many victories the Dolphins have this season, including the time Tua's been back, against teams with above 500 records.
Gotcha. I got you. Yeah. I understand. But listen, you watch Buffalo yesterday. I mean, they were a 61-yard field goal from being in that. The Arizona game, Arizona's a decent team. Again, last play of the game is a field goal. Like, they're in the games. And I would submit to you that maybe had he not missed those 4 games, he's in a better rhythm and they actually win those games. Because now I think he's getting into a rhythm.
And to Solana's point, is he going to have to beat Patrick Mahomes? Is he going to have to beat Josh Allen? Is he going to have to beat Lamar Jackson? Is he going to have to beat those other balling quarterbacks? Yes.
Russell Wilson. Throw him in there, Crowder. Russell Wilson. You know, come on, do
Russell,
it. Man. Throw him in there.
Or no.
Russell got to be in there. Russell's throwing them big moon passes, whatever the hell they call them, and people are catching them. He's going to have to beat those good teams, but he's not the problem. He's the solution.
He's the solution. It's more than just not being the problem. He's the solution to any problems you have with this team. He really is.
And if he doesn't miss those 4 games, they're probably sitting at 6-4.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I'll give it to you. Like, he might lose 2 games because he did Arizona game. You can bring it up. Like, yes, I understand what you're saying. Buffalo game. The team that just beat Kansas City, 61-yard field goal to beat them. Like, this is a competitive team. It's not what you want to see. It's not what you think you want, 90 points a game and all that. But, no, this team can compete with those top teams. To Solana's point, we watched it last year in the playoffs when it was 18 degrees outside or whatever. We watched it in London, wherever the hell they played Kansas City last time. He's not out-dueling MVP candidates. But he is the answer to all the problems if we think that we can play football in Miami.
My bottom line is the future is bright with Tua as the Dolphins quarterback. That's how I feel. It's how I felt going into the season. I had that confidence shaken a little bit. And obviously it's contingent on him being healthy. I get it. It is contingent on him being healthy. And that's, that's on him as well. But I believe you watch what happened in New York with Daniel Jones. Like, that's who you're going to get most of the time. Most of the time when you covet someone else, you're not getting Patrick Mahomes. You're getting Daniel Jones.
Yes.
And you've got someone closer to Patrick Mahomes than closer to Daniel Jones. That's my point on Tua.
And they have to, you know what? And the examples we used for finding that guy to back up Tua was Flacco, who got benched, and now Anthony Richardson's playing. It was Andy Dalton, and now Bryce Young comes in and starts winning games. Like, I know we need a new backup quarterback because Tua's health, you know, history, but everyone out there doesn't have a good quarterback. Teams don't have good backup quarterback. You talk about New York. You know Tommy DeVito is about to start for them?
Tommy DeVito.
I don't want Tommy DeVito. I don't want Cutlets. I'll take anybody over Cutlets. Like, yes, Tua is extremely good. McDaniel is coming back down to earth with these let's win every game by 40. No, bro. Stay in the game. Make good decisions. Take your third down, four-yard routes. Like, you can even see him kind of calming down about this. We're going to go out there and score 60. No, you're not. You're going to get to 30 if you're lucky, and then we'll see what happens in the fourth quarter.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Hundreds of Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441. Between Hollywood and Sheridan, where we are joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious.
Well, let's go right to him. Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL insider. I love Baldy's breakdowns. Baldy, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, Joe, good morning to you, man. I hear Kim sitting next to you there today.
Yeah, Bo, how are you? Bo, how you doing, brother? He's doing great, too. Yep.
I just want to know how those fingers are doing, Baldy.
They're still crooked, Joe. They're not getting straightened out. They're not getting straightened out in this lifetime.
Mine are going in all different directions,
you
too.
You too. You too.
I wake up one morning, the other one's going in another direction.
Yeah. Now, I've got one that's pointing to Pennsylvania. The other one right now is going to the Jersey Shore.
Well, Baldy, I got to tell you, man, this Jets thing, I hate to hit you with Jets stuff, but like you're going, well, this is as bad as it can be, and they lose another game or they're on a bye week, and now they get rid of the GM. And now the word that the owner, if you believe it, I was going to ask you what your thoughts are with the owner saying maybe it's time to bench Aaron Rodgers here after that Denver Bronco loss. What's your take going forward with Aaron Rodgers and the Jets and how this thing ends up?
Well, it's not going to end up good, Joe. I mean, it's a disaster right now, and they've got six games left, though, and they got a lot of young players. I mean, you got to develop these players. I mean, they've got a bunch of first and second year guys out there, and guys that they paid a lot of money to in free agency. Aaron Rodgers has a contract for next year, but there's going to be a new GM. There's going to be a new head coach. Does anybody really want to come there and deal with the 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers right now? Especially the way that he's playing. If he was playing good, well, there wouldn't be any of these changes. But he's not playing well. And so they need a quarterback. They got to make a change there. I mean, it's not, you know, it's a tough situation for the players that are there right now. I know some of these guys real good, Joe. I mean, all they've done is lose. And so these young players, if all they do is keep losing and finishing out the season and all you see is turmoil, like, do those guys want to be there? I mean, I know they're getting paid money and they got a contract, but still, you know, you look around and, you know, losing stinks, especially if you're a young guy and maybe you came from a college like maybe Alabama where all they did was win. And you're like, this is not what I want to sign up for. It's tough.
Hey, Baldy, I got to ask you one final thing about Aaron Rodgers, who everybody's talking about. As a matter of fact, I think the more he talks on his shows, the more he's disliked overall by people. But so first of all, if Aaron Rodgers, they say, hey, we're going to go a different direction, you think he keeps playing? Would he go somewhere to be a backup? Does he like it that much? Or it's either I'm a starter, or do you think he just finally says that's it?
No, I think you know, the writing's on the wall. I mean, nobody wants to finish a career the way his career is going right now. It's going off a cliff. Like, you might as well just get out and get to the next step of your life and next phase and say you gave it your best shot, but the Achilles gave out, the legs don't work like they used to.
Right.
And I just don't think many teams are going to offer them, you know, some kind of an opportunity to compete for a job or a backup job at this point.
All right, so I got to ask you, the Belichick, who's on just about every NFL show that's possible right now, he's getting a paycheck from and obviously wants to coach. Does the Jacksonville or Cowboys thing make sense to you at all, that he could come back and coach again as a head coach the way everything is?
I'll tell you, Joe, I'm at NFL Films right now. I left last night at 11 o'clock. His car was here. I got here early this morning. His car was here. Like, he might be, like, doing coaching hours right now. Like, he's here. He's working. I think he's really looking at the whole league, looking at trends in the league, looking at, you know, coordinators that he likes what they're doing. I think he wants to coach. Dallas makes a lot of sense to me. They need a change. We kind of see what's going on. He needs a good GM, you know, to upgrade the talent on that team. But Dallas would make a lot of sense to me if he was interested. Like, I think, you know, Parcells went there when nobody could win, and he turned that team around, put him in the playoffs with Quincy Carter as his quarterback. Like, I could see him going to Dallas and working with Jerry Jones and making that thing work.
Yeah, I was going to ask you just a follow-up to that whole thing right now is the whole Jerry Jones after games. He talks before the head coach. I know it sounds like a small thing. Belichick's never had that before. How's he handle the Jerry Jones, and now he's got to answer not only questions about his team, but whatever Jerry Jones just got done saying?
Well, it's a good question, Joe, because Jerry never met a camera or a mirror he didn't like, you know, so that could be a little bit of a roadblock right there.
Yeah.
I don't know. They might have to work that thing out. I'm sure Bill wants to keep everything just in-house, doesn't want anything to get out.
Right.
He's going to be the only one that speaks. It's going to come. His voice is the only voice that gets heard outside of maybe the quarterback if he's playing good. So there would have to be some sort of arrangement right there where Jerry can't go on every single talk show the way that he likes to.
All right, so can I bring it back here to South Florida? We won a couple. Good. We're now 4-6. We got the Patriots, a good chance to go 5-6 before a Thursday night game against the Green Bay Packers, but the Dolphins are clearly playing better football over the last month since Tua's been back. We've been going through this thing. It's still, listen, you're 4-6. You still got a road ahead of you, even to get to that 7th spot. Could you see, with what the Dolphins have left on that schedule, Cleveland once and the Patriots this week and the Jets twice still, that they'd have a chance to make the playoffs?
Well, I mean, they got Buffalo twice, Joe. So, you know, I mean, that's always been their nemesis right now. And they played them. I'm sorry about that.
They played them both. Yeah, they're done.
They've got games. They've got games up there, you know, that they played Buffalo twice. But they've got the Patriots. They've got the Jets twice. They've got Cleveland. You know, you've got some real winnable games. San Francisco, I'm going to see them this weekend. You get them down there. The way Tua is playing right now, I can see them – you know, making a run here, because defensively they're very good. And I don't know, I don't see anybody moving Zach Sealer or Calais Campbell or Benito Jones. Those guys look great to me inside. And so if the defense keeps playing like they are and Tua keeps getting rid of the ball as quickly as he does, you can see him stacking some wins right now.
Yeah. Now, hey, listen, I got to ask you too. We get to see Drake May this week for the first time. What's been your take on him with this big rookie quarterback class in the first round? Drake May got a chance?
Well, he's 2-2 in his last four games. He's playing pretty good football. He's getting the ball to his wide receivers. He's averaging over 9 yards every time he runs it, Joe. He's very athletic, and he's got a good arm, and he stays in there, and he takes his shots. I thought he played pretty well last week, to be honest with you. I mean, I thought they had a real chance against the Rams deep into that game. It was a 6-point game at the end. I thought he played pretty well. And I like what I see from him. You know, it's not a very talented offensive line, but the way that they're kind of using him right now, the way that he gets the ball out quickly and he sees the field pretty good, I think they've got a guy that they can build around for the future right now.
Brian Baldinger here with us on QAM. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season.
Hey, Baldy, getting back here. Boy, I'll tell you what, we're going to have another year of a lot of coaches getting canned here. I was just looking at the list potentially of teams that...
Yeah.
Boy, what are we at? Five over under on five this year? What would you think? Jacksonville's looks like it's done.
Yep.
The interesting one is Riz, who we know real well down here with what he's doing with New Orleans, has got him playing a lot better football. But, boy, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of guys just not that thing in Dallas, obviously. A guy put his house up for sale. You know that's never a good sign right there. But what do you think?
The better sign is if coaches don't buy homes, you know, they just rent. No, but, I mean, obviously, you know, we've got changes already coming. Jacksonville, I mean, it's a foregone conclusion. I mean, Dallas is a dumpster fire right now. They got to make a change, whether Mike is the reason or not. I mean, the roster's not very good. I mean, you can look. I mean, do they make a change in Cincinnati? Do they make a change in Cleveland? There's just a lot of bad football and a lot of bad football teams right now. And if you look at a team like, say Washington, like Washington got themselves a quarterback and a coach, and they're very, very competitive right now. And so the Raiders need a coach? They definitely need a quarterback. If you don't get the quarterback, then you always need a coach and a general manager because they all get fired when that doesn't work out.
Right.
And so, I mean, there's going to be a lot of changes this year. I don't think there's any question about it.
Baldy, why is it nobody's talking about what's going on with the New York Giants in that organization? It, to me, it's as bad as the Jets right now. And I guess Brian Daboll is, you know.
I think it's benefit of the doubt, doesn't he, Baldy? A little bit, the head coach?
Well, I mean, look, they're going to their 13 quarterback after they benched their starter in the bye week right now. They paid, the backup $5 million guaranteed to come in and be the backup quarterback, and they're going to the 13 quarterback. They're just – all they're trying to do is right now with DeVito coming in is maybe giving the fans some hope and something to get excited about. But look, they got to get that quarterback situation straightened out. The running back they let go in free agency might be the offensive player of the year. Probably leads the league in rushing before this season. That never looks good.
No,
I don't know if the coach and the general manager can save their jobs. They're a little bit more stable than most organizations, but I don't know if this is the 100th year of the New York Giants football. Like, this is a horrendous season. So I don't know if anybody can save their jobs right now.
Hey, Baldy, before I let you go, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, or other for MVP right now for you?
Josh probably jumped to the head of the class after beating Kansas City and playing as well as he did. I don't think you can lead Jared Goff out. They're the number one offense in football. They might be the number one seed overall before all this stuff gets said and done. So I think you got to put Goff into that conversation as well.
Baldy, great having you, man. Really appreciate it. You take care of yourself. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
All right. Take care, guys. We'll see you. All right. Talk to you soon.
Brian Baldinger joining us. What do you got there, Woody?
All right, that was Odyssey NFL Insider. Brian Baldinger, host of the best football show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious.
Ben Volen from the Boston Globe is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. If you're looking, by the way, for Dolphins or Canes merch, check out Caneswear in Davie, University Drive, or caneswear.com. Ben Volen covers the NFL for the Boston Globe. His New England Patriots will be in town Sunday to take on the Miami Dolphins. Hello, Ben.
Yes, my Patriots will be in town to visit your Dolphins on Sunday.
How are you received in Boston? Because, you covered the Dolphins for a while, and I think people liked you down here, from what I recall. Then you've gone up to Boston, and you come on here. Dolphins fans absolutely despise you every time you come on the show. You wanted Mac Jones over Tua. I mean, you've got a bunch of stuff in your arsenal that annoys Dolphins fans. How are you received in Boston by Patriots fans?
Oh, there are plenty of Patriots fans who I annoy greatly as well. I kind of break it down to like the normal fans that you see in everyday life. I think enjoy my work and read my columns and like what I bring to the table, where I'm not just writing kind of Homer content all the time. But then the internet world, like Twitter and like Barstool, and like these people just don't like me because I don't know. I guess I don't cheerlead enough for the Patriots or whatever, but it's all in good fun, and it's better to be hated than to have them ignore you. So that's that. At least either way, at least they're paying attention.
True that.
Hey, Ben, if you ain't got no haters, you're not doing nothing. You're not doing any something right. That's what I always say. Ben, through all your career, here, down here, up there, through your career, like you say, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff, people just can type it. Has any fan ever confronted you face-to-face about something?
Kind of. I had a funny experience almost 10 years ago now where I was out in public at night with my wife, actually. We were going to see a band, and we're waiting in line outside this club, and, you know, this, like, college kid comes, and we talk, and he's like, oh, you know, hey, let's talk Patriots and whatever, and, you know, we talk about the game tomorrow, and he's like, what do you think? I'm like, oh, they're playing the Eagles. They stink. The Patriots should be able to handle them. Kid was really nice. We had a nice conversation, went our separate ways. The next day, the Patriots suffer this surprising loss to the Eagles. It was a really bad loss. And I see on Twitter, I met this jerk Ben Volen yesterday, and this clown thought they were going to win. And he just starts, like, ripping me left and right. I'm like, what the heck did I do? Like, where is this coming from? And then a funny postscript. I, like, 3 years later, randomly at Logan Airport, I'm sitting there, and a kid comes up to me. He's like, hey, I don't know if you remember me. I was like, oh, yeah, you're that kid I saw online that one day. He's like, yeah, I said some mean things about you on Twitter. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean that. And so another example of how when you see someone in person, they're super nice, but then when they get on Twitter, they're the keyboard warriors, and they let loose with all the insults.
I can one-up you there. The executive producer of this show, Alejandro Solana, I've learned this is years later, but when I was on the Levitard show, would constantly tweet about what a waste I am, what a loser I am, nobody cares about my opinions, and only recently have all these tweets been unearthed from Solana just crushing me every time I crack the mic on Levitard show.
I mean, Ben, how many times do I have to hear about the Mount Rushmore, Fort Lauderdale area restaurants? We get it. You like Jay Alexander's, Hawk. We gotcha.
I mean, if you go back through his old Twitter, he loves Josh Friedman and the Frito show and could not stand me. Probably still can't stand me, but now he kind of is forced to stand me.
Getting that check.
any that really makes Solana, like, turn red in embarrassment?
No, he loves that. the harsher, the better. He loves that. Now he just says it to my face. now there's no holds barred.
Disrespectful.
Let's talk a little Dolphins Patriots here. Dolphins have won two in a row. And to be quite honest, I thought they looked decent in their losses to Arizona and Buffalo, you know, since Tua's been back. Can you buy them as a playoff team?
Yeah, I think you can, because in Roger Goodell's, you know, NFL, 7 playoff teams, 17 games is all designed to keep teams alive, you know, longer than possible. And, you know, that 7th playoff seed right now, you know, Denver has it, but it's still up for grabs, and there's 6-7 games left in the season. So I could see the Dolphins going on a little run. They got the Patriots Sunday. They still have 2 games against the Jets. I mean, they can only afford, like, maybe one more slip up. They're going to really have to go on a run, but it is possible. And, you know, the Chargers, the Broncos, the Bengals, the Colts, like, there's still some spots up for grab. It's not all settled yet.
And Ben, with the Dolphins, like, and it's so funny that everybody talk about Dolphins, they say, oh, well, Tua stays healthy. If Tua stays healthy, it's that way with a lot of damn NFL teams. But with him being back now, it's like it was 23, 23, 27, you know, 30. Like, what's the concerns that you have with the Dolphins? Like you're saying, if they can't have too many slip-ups, what's your concerns with watching the Dolphins where if they go play the top teams? And, hell, I'm throwing the Steelers in there now too, but we know the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bills, the Steelers, those teams, what would their biggest concerns be?
I mean, I was watching that Rams game a couple weeks ago, and I wasn't totally thrilled with the Dolphins' offensive line and the way that they were protecting Tua, and I didn't think Tua looked all that great either. And so I'd be concerned. You know, I don't think the offense is necessarily clicking on high cylinder, you know, on all cylinders yet. And I don't know if it's going to be. You know, I think Tua, he just hasn't looked quite right compared to previous years. The offense hasn't looked as dominant as it has in years past. And it's almost like, you know, with Tua going on injured reserve and missing all that time, it's almost like they have to start from scratch again when he came back, and they're just now starting to build up some timing. And, you know, those were good wins over the Rams and the Raiders the last couple of weeks, but I still think the offensive line is going to be an issue for the Dolphins. And, you know, Tua, I just don't know how high of a level he's playing at this year. And I think, you know, that if not for the defense, I don't think they would have won that game against the Rams the other day. And, you know, we'll see now against the Patriots. I think this is going to be a tricky game for the Dolphins. I was looking, I don't think they've beaten them like a runaround mobile quarterback all year. They've lost to Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, and there's one, Anthony Richardson, too. So they've kind of struggled with the mobile quarterbacks, and Drake May has definitely proven to be slippery. So that'll be an interesting challenge for the Dolphins on Sunday.
Taste of some of these big guys coming out and hitting them. Like, all right, you think you're going to run around our guy? How about if you get a little taste of Landon Dickerson coming right down your throat?
We'll throw it to Ayuk inside, touchdown. Samuel leading the way. Ayuk comes inside of him.
You're a very immature human being. You really are. You really are. Can we just go right to it? Scott Zolak joins us this morning. Scott, I apologize. You have to be part of that. Patriots radio analyst joins us. The very immature stuff before he hit the nine.
I was warned by it.
All right, good. And by the way, he's got like nine of them, and he rotates them. And I'm always hoping one of those guys is not down here on vacation or something where everybody comes. Anyway, how you doing, Scott? How you holding up?
Doing great, Joe. Looking forward to, you know, our annual trip down there. Not too hot, I guess, huh?
Oh, no. We jumped in the 50s for you today for a couple of days. Looks like it's going to be a lot cooler day. By the way, we're seeing a lot of teams that are struggling right now with a lot of drama. You guys are kind of drama-free up there, and you got a quarterback in Drake May. Looks like, have you seen enough to go, I think we got the right guy, or is it still to be determined for you?
Yeah, it's been a couple of years since I put you on notice, Joe. You're getting put on notice now. We finally got a quarterback since Tommy. You know, we had some hopes for Mac Jones, but just it wasn't working out. The arm strength wasn't there, and sort of ruined him in year three and two. And yeah, you know, this kid's good though. 22 years old. As you know, we don't got a lot of talent. We don't have talent on the outside like you guys have that elevates Tua. He elevates everybody else. This kid's that good, and he gets better every week.
You know what? It's funny you said that, because you know the one thing. You're right. Looking at the – and you were on this before, even when Brissett was playing. You were like, we need to play the kid. I remember we were talking up there. But Drake May can run. My God, I forgot what a great runner he was. Running almost 10 yards a clip when he does take off. Man, that's a nice little added addition for a quarterback, isn't it?
It is, and it's another good quarterback within the division to call games against. You know, you know how fun those games are against Buffalo to watch Josh Allen in person. And yeah, we're going to see Justin Herbert here in a couple weeks, but he's sort of between Allen and Herbert, I would put it. He's real up and down, but it doesn't feel like he's running fast. But I'm not going to say, like, you remember when Eric Dickerson ran, it was straight up and down.
Right.
He's an up and down runner. He doesn't really lower the shoulders.
Yeah, hey, I got to ask you, the defense still gets after it. It's still, and I know the coaching staff, including the head coach, is part of Belichick's coaching staff, but it's still kind of got that same flavor to it defensively. That has given the Dolphins a hard time.
Yeah, same stuff. And, you know, we got a guy, Jonathan Jones, who pretty much matches up on Tyreek, you know, even when he was with Kansas City. But, you know, he's with you guys now. And that should put Gonzalez on Waddle. And we'll see how it goes from there. But no way you play zone against you guys. We played zone last week. And, you know, we got picked apart. Matt Stafford picked us apart. It was pretty bad.
Hey, so I got to ask you, what happened with Tyquan Thornton that they just released him?
Terrible.
Was he bad?
Terrible, terrible. Just a bust of a second-round pick. Another receiver that, you know, we drafted here, it didn't work out. And guy's not a great route runner. Kansas City picked him up because of the speed. But they'll figure out how to use him on reverses and stuff.
Yeah.
He's not a real good receiver.
Scott, I got to ask you about the AFC East, man. We had such high expectations, and there's the Buffalo Bills, like a zillion games out in front of everybody. Have you been surprised at all? Do you think it would be closer or no?
I'm surprised based on the amount of talent they lost and replaced it with. You know, you don't really trust young new guys, but the draft pick's good. You know, Amari Cooper goes there. Sounds like he's found a second life. You know, they pretty much overturned that defense, and You know, they're just playing at a high level, higher level than we saw 3 years ago.
Yeah, I. What about the Aaron Rodgers and Jet stuff? That surprised you? I thought I kind of bought in that maybe he had a good year if he stayed healthy, and he might be the biggest problem on that team.
It is. He is. And, you know, the big thing, he and Russ Wilson tried to do what Tom did, go somewhere else and win. And I always thought, you know, boy, Tom did it, it's easy. Grass isn't always greener, and that's an uber-talented team, the Jets. But to see him fire a coach, you know, fire a GM, he's next to go. I don't know how they move on with him. I really don't.
No, I'm with you. I think he's cancer, man. I'm not his biggest fan. So I got to ask you, you did shows for years with Belichick, and you know him as well as anybody. He wants to coach again. Do you agree with that for sure?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He'll be back. Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Dallas or Jacksonville, does he wait to see for this whole thing to open up?
A lot of people are saying Jacksonville now. It was funny when, you know, Atlanta was one of the finalists for him. I can't see him as a Falcon. I can't see him as a Jaguar head coach. Jacksonville's, you know, you got to share a state with Jacksonville. Jacksonville really doesn't belong in that state. There's something off there. I don't know, man. I always thought maybe Philly would be the spot, but I think Philly's kind of turned it around. Dallas is the most logical, but I don't know if Jerry wants him and wants to pay him, because then Jerry's going to have to give up a ton of power, because Jerry's not going to be able to have press conferences in the locker room while Bill's running it.
That's funny you said that. That's the first thing I said when everybody on national TV is talking about Belichick with Jerry Jones. I said, as long as Belichick doesn't mind Jerry Jones doing interviews after the game before he does, and then he's got to answer questions off of what the owner says, then, and I don't see Belichick doing that. You know him better than I do.
Yeah, no. Bill's going to have to give a little from the personnel side of it, but he's not going to put up with a circus. That's one thing. He doesn't like any of those distractions.
So, hey, here real quickly, game plan for the Patriots. I'm guessing try to run the football tomorrow, get the tight end involved. What's the game plan?
Our tight ends are really good. Hunter Henry, Austin Hooper, you know, they're coming on with the young quarterback. We're going to see a lot of two tight end sets, 12 personnel, and we got to be able to run it. That's how the play action comes in, and keep it away from Mike McDaniel's offense.
Yeah, so I guess you've noticed we're not hitting a bunch of plays down the field. Everything is shortened up. A lot of short passes to it, gets it to them quickly. We got guys open. They run a lot of pick or rub plays to get guys. By the way, something you guys really perfected was that rub. Brady, nobody did that thing better and never got called for it than the New England Patriots. So do they come up and join the game, or do they go, no. The safeties are going to stay deep, or what do you expect defensively?
I think we got to stay deep. Did too many big plays over the top. We had some last week. We had some earlier in the year with Seattle, some busted coverages. That's one thing Bill's teams never really gave up, with those big plays over the top. You guys hit us on a couple, especially the one down there last year before the half, or 2 years ago. You had slant play with Waddle. Can't have that. Can't have those big plays, those slants to turn into 40, 50-yard plays.
Hey, I got to tell you one guy that has been absolutely unbelievable against the Miami Dolphins. He didn't play in the first game, that I am a huge fan of. Kyle Duggar, to me, is so friggin' good. Is he playing a high big level hitter right now?
He's a big hitter, man. You know, he's 6'2". He looks like a linebacker, but he's pretty good in coverage. He's better in run support, man. He'll knock your head off. And we do miss Peppers, man. You know, he had that off-field incident, and that has not been resolved, and
he was team
captain, and we've missed him since day one. We didn't get to see him at all this year.
Well, listen, I just wanted a little teaser, man, to hear your voice. Scott, thank you. I appreciate you coming on, brother, and we'll see you in a couple days.
Looking forward to seeing you. Bring some good food in that press box, man.
By the way, you know what? Outside of that key lime pie, and they got smaller, but I can't make any promises on the food.
It's interesting how they prepackage them now, Joe. I love the ones that were just freestanding. Yeah. I can put all kinds in my pocket.
I'll see you Sunday, buddy. All right, man.
All right.
Thanks,
see you,
Scott. All right, Scott Zolak joining us, Patriots Raider radio analyst. Got his own radio show up there as well. Mike Florio is going to join us. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.